Welcome to the Palatable Podcast. Enjoy the show.
Do it on a Sunday next time.
Welcome to the Palatable Podcast. That's all right. Joe's talking.
I keep doing that.
That's all right. It's chaotic here. We just did a 40-minute show, and the computer literally crashed. Like, the battery didn't die. The computer crashed, unfortunately. So we're going to do an abbreviated version. We had so much cool stuff we just did. Like I said, 40 minutes worth. So, Joe, we're here at Toast in Cleveland. We're here with Joe Horvath and Jen Plank. And they're going to be kind enough again to give us another 10, 15 minutes here. It'll be abbreviated. But as Joe said, maybe we can come back someday and catch up on everything.
Yeah. We'll talk as fast forward as we can right now.
Chipmunk style.
So give us the rundown on the restaurant. You're in Gordon Square on 65th, 1365. 65th, right across from Capitol Theater.
Yes.
You've been open now for 5 weeks. Give us a rundown on the restaurant. What do you guys have going on here? What makes you unique? Why do we need to be here?
You need to be here because our menu changes weekly. We go off ingredient-based menu, so anything our farmers bring us is what you'll see on our menu. We don't call and choose. We ask them to choose for us and whatever they think looks best, and then we work our menu around that.
And another cool thing is we actually have our own garden, which... You know, right now we have 14 raised beds and, you know, with many different greens and some root vegetables in there. And that's just really exciting. We have chickens at our house right down the road. We're talking with you guys about maybe getting some bees.
We've talked about this. Yeah. I'm still crushed that we just lost an entire show of just like epic stuff. But
we saw your first radish on Instagram.
First radish,
yeah, baby radish
from your garden.
Proud parents.
So that's really cool to me. Is that it's all local food from local farmers. You guys put the food first. Like we talked about your turnip, with the pickled turnip green, right? And you just feature that turnip with very simple highlights, but you let the ingredients shine.
Absolutely.
And so that's what, I mean, I've seen since I've been here a few times is that the food comes through. And it's delicious. I mean, it's just, it can't lose. The staples that I've seen on your menu... It being in and out, bringing ginger beer. Are the pickled eggs always pickled eggs?
They're always there.
And I can't wait to have them from your chickens.
Yes, we can't wait either. We're a few months away, but
the charcuterie board that you guys do mostly in house, right?
Actually, all of it is done in house at the moment. It's all fresh charcuterie. And then, you know, we're starting to work on some aged salumis and, you know, whatnot.
Right now we're just going to town with our smoker for the most part and doing jerkies and then braising some things. And
some
doing
pâtés.
Some pâtés and some head cheese stuff.
Head cheese.
So that'll always be there, obviously with different, you know, pieces of meat and charcuterie on there. Our cheese board will always be there, which really, at the moment we have three different cheese makers that are just amazing. We have our Yellow House Farms, Mackenzie's, and Coco Borrego have just been pulling through with some amazing cheeses that we've been featuring.
I mean, they're just beautiful cheeses. And
you've got
those are the staples. I think that's it.
So those are, you know, and then, you know, our pickles are always going to be on there that are going to change as well through the seasons. It's just a great way for us to utilize all the vegetables and fruits, you know, that we can. If something didn't come out, you know, if we have an abundance of one thing, we, you know, pickle it, and it'll always be there.
And then we can use it in the off season, in the winter months.
See, super cool. pickles working in your hutch in the dining room.
Decorating and cooking all in the same shot. Yeah. I like it.
It's kind of funny. I feel really
just
awkward
like grandma's
sometimes.
House.
We need to go, like, if a table is sitting here, we have to go up in the middle of their dinner and, like, grab a couple jars out. And like, hey. But I think it adds to the experience. So
right. Yeah, for
that's
sure.
what I'm telling myself anyway.
Now, everybody's real hyped on the patios for this summer. So in case people are misinformed, well, it is true. You do not have a patio open yet.
Right.
But
we
it's
do
coming.
Have the space to do it. We're just waiting on the city's approval. Which could
be any day.
Any day, or they could just be a pain like they have been and just make us wait a little bit longer. But as soon as we get it, it's very cozy. You feel like in your grandma's backyard. There's plans for next summer to have a bar in our garage, so that'll be really neat. And eventually be cooking out there and just have a grill out there all summer long.
Awesome.
Yeah, so we're really excited about that.
Very cool, and you have a unique wine collection here. Tell us about that.
We feature some really incredible wines, and we also have our cocktail list that Kevin has been masterfully putting together.
Kevin's here, right?
I can make up words too. Does that work? Kevin's right here, so he's going to speak to you a little bit about our wine list and our cocktails.
So your menu, as far as the food goes, changes every week. You're featuring fresh stuff that you get from the farmers.
Yep.
Local farmers.
Our farm.
Right.
And it we don't have a set style of food. We pull from a lot of different.
Right, you told us we had extensive backgrounds on our last show. That you have a lot of background in Greek food. You were in Atlanta. You were in Miami, doing some Jamaican food. So I mean, you have the Jamaican Greek yogurt thing down.
Jerk yogurt.
Yeah.
Set.
Jerk yogurt. You guys gotta make
that,
it.
That won't be on the menu anymore.
Yeah, it's just great to that's why it's kind of hard to put a label on what kind of food we are. It's just, it's ingredient driven.
Call it revitalized farm fare.
Yeah, it's good food.
So,
all right, now I see that you guys are jamming now. Like, people are here. We're going to start eating and cooking. So we'll let you guys go
you
before.
Open in an hour. So.
Yeah, before we let you guys go, they'll tell people where to find you at, how to get hold of you, that kind of stuff.
We are in Gordon Square at 1365 West 65th Street, just north of Detroit Avenue.
Across the street from the Capitol Theater.
That, right? New promotion. If you bring your ticket stub in, you will get 10% off your bill.
Sweet.
And Monday through Friday, 4:30 to 7.
4:30 to 7, happy hour at the bar.
Yeah.
So $5 wines, $5 cocktail, and $2 canned beer.
And then where can they find you guys on social media?
I'm at JC Plank.
Yeah.
he's Joe's kind of
the very few and far times that I'm on there with my my old school flip phone. I can be at Joe R. Horvath. And then obviously the restaurant is at Toast_Cleveland.
No,
for your
Toast_CLE.
I don't know why I'm talking about this, but I don't do that.
At Twitter and then at Instagram as well. So we put up some fun things. We're trying to get a little bit more on it every day. But if you keep watching, you'll see what our menu changes are. And they're
Just posted your new menu, yesterday or the day before?
Yeah, 5 weeks you guys have been open. Listen,
5 weeks.
Thank you guys so much. You're the only people to do 2 shows with us in one day. So you're officially our new heroes, as if you weren't already. But we'll let Kevin, I think he's going to come on and tell us a little bit about the wine and the drinks here.
Cool.
Thank you so much for coming out.
Thank you.
All right, Kevin's just put on the headset, and he just biked in. How many miles did you bike from?
It's 10 and a half or so.
Is that faster with the Captain America traffic?
Most certainly. It took me more than an hour to get here yesterday by automobile, and I just got here in 43 minutes on my bicycle. So
more than an hour?
More than an hour.
People said Captain America is just shutting the city down.
Well, it's the Captain America plus all the construction projects happening
at
the same time, concurrent with one another. You know, Euclid Avenue is missing an entire lane down by the clinic, or Carnegie. There's entire sections of road just missing all over the city, and then they decide to shut down the Shoreway. So
that's all the cars are blowing up for the movie.
Yeah.
Now, tell us a little bit about the drinks here. You're at the bar. The bar here is super cool. It's got all these wine bottles that are cut in half and turned on end, and then they're over windows, so the sun shines in from the outside, so it looks so cool. You guys have some unique wines here, too. Tell us a little bit about what you do here.
The wine program is a lot of fun. Jill, the owner, and I found ourselves to be kindred spirits on the wine program. We both love eccentric wines, things that take people outside of the general Cab, Chard, Pinot Gris boxes that most people check off when they go out. And so
no Carlo Rossi.
No Carlo Rossi, no Blush. No, we're not messing around with that kind of stuff. The wine program is based around, you know, trying to find really, really exceptional. Everybody in any wine program, people are always looking for values, and we've got everything really aggressively priced, and we've got some stuff on the list that one might not find around other places. You know, we were pouring until we just switched the wine list yesterday. Prior to that, we were pouring a Falanghina by the glass. I could say that probably nobody else in the city is pouring Falanghina by the glass. Really eccentric Italian wine. Fantastic, fantastic stuff. We just put on this Portuguese wine. It's a red, and I honestly can't pronounce the grapes in it.
Wow, that's, you know, and it's eccentric.
It's gorgeous. It's a fantastic wine, but something that is a little bit more off the beaten path, and it's fun to be able to offer people these things. It's, you know, like I said, a kind of like a wine evangelism program here. This is really, really great, and you can have a glass of it for $7.50, and you're going to love it, and it goes great with the food, so check
awesome.
It out.
Awesome. Now tell us a little bit about the drinks. Joe was telling us that you guys typically have like 5 traditional and then 5 new age drinks.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about the traditional, and then what kind of new age stuff you guys got.
The traditionals, we just go back through the classics, pre-prohibition stuff, and pick out stuff that we like. The latest one we put on an Aviation, a Scofflaw, Martinez, which the Martinez is when the Martini and the Manhattan were being constructed. It's something that's in between those two. It's, you know, and it goes all the way back to the very beginnings of the 1900s. Like I said, pre-prohibition stuff. When we just, you know, those 5 cocktails are things that we just say, hey, these are classics, we love them, you guys should check them out. The new stuff. The new list is all the names are really fun. They're all Ohio City related names, either historical figures or actual geographical places. So one of the new cocktails is called Taylor Farm, and we're actually sitting on top of the Taylor Farm right now. This entire area where we are, where Gordon Square is, was the Taylor Farm. Really? We've got one called Princess Daria. Princess Daria, which relates to one of the other cocktails called the Pankhurst. The Pankhursts were a family that ran this big, giant industrial firm thing real, real early on. Princess Daria was the daughter of John Pankhurst, and she was an Olympic medalist in women's golf, and then she married some Russian nobleman and became a princess.
Wow.
But she was from a few streets away from here, so you know,
Princess Daria.
That's a fun lady to name a cocktail after.
Yeah, for sure.
So they're cool. The new 5 are all based around, you know, historical things, especially with Gordon Square Artistry Day coming up and all the events that are going to happen through the summertime. We thought it would be fun to name some things around, you know, where we are. And go back into the past and have fun story. You know, the cocktails all have a fun story surrounding how I came up with them, and then a fun story to go along with the names as well to draw that locality back in one more time.
Sweet. And all your cocktail. Well, the last time I was here, all your cocktails were made with your own bitters.
Yes,
your in-house homemade bitters.
Yes,
which. See, I had a drink with the grapefruit bitters. I think. I had a drink with the mole bitters.
Mm-hmm.
What other bitters are you guys
concocting? We're doing, right now, the 4 we have ready to go are aromatic style, you know, classic bitters. We've got grapefruit, we've got the mole, and cherry. Right. Jill has rhubarb on the way right now that are being put together. So there's that, and we've got some mad science stuff that's still in, you know, that's still in beta stages right now, so I'm not going to talk about that.
Cool. Now, I seen, as we talked about, Yelp. I was reading the reviews today, and somebody shouted out the ginger beer here.
Yes.
And for those who may not be familiar, probably most aren't, Forest City Soda ginger beer.
Yeah.
You can pick it up here at Toast. What kind of drink would I get with the ginger beer if I left it up to you?
Well, we just put on, in the classic section, we just put on the classic Dark and Stormy. So Gosling's, you know, Dark Stormy is one of the fantastic drinks of all time. You know, ginger beer and Gosling's Black Seal Rum and some fresh lime. And Kyle's been good enough to us to tune the ginger beer to our taste buds.
Man, you're a professional.
As we've gone along.
Kyle, you know, you're
a professional. We've been giving him feedback. We've been giving him feedback over the course of the last, only 5 weeks. About the ginger beer and ways that we'd, things to make it mix better and ways that we'd like to do stuff, things that we'd like to see out of it. And Kyle's been kind enough to tune everything up for us.
It's been a learning process.
Sweet. So yeah, we can come down here and pick that up at the bar. We talked a little bit about, tell us about this building. Now, this used to be a bakery.
Yes.
And this is like, or it was a house too. I mean, are we sitting in a bedroom? What are we sitting here?
We're sitting, this is probably like the dining area, because we've got the built-in cabinets right next to you guys, the open wall cabinets and stuff. This would have been the dining area. To the back is where the kitchen was. The front of the place, the storefront, was basically the only thing that was the bakery, and then the rest of it. What's our lounge area right now is the storefront where the bakery's, the bakery proper was, and the rest of the place was all the house.
And now Jen told us you can see the mark on the bar where the toilet used to be, 80 years ago. Is that true?
Tile floor. Down on the floor over there. Yeah, we're trying to get something to cover that up. Be like, oh, you're standing in the bathroom. No. It's not. That's not it anymore.
Yeah, so the Joe told us before when we lost the show, the flower bin.
That's all we're
going
to talk about now forever. Yeah. Remember that time we lost the show?
The flower bin that's now a 14-person communal table with a glass top. That was part of the original bakery.
Yes.
That is awesome.
We've got another one in the back that we're going to do the same thing with. What's our dry storage area right now will eventually become our wine tasting room.
Awesome.
To do, specials and have people, come in and do special, wine tasting, stuff like that. And we've got another one of those bins back there. And going to set another one up. So it's a fun looking thing. There was a lot of salvage work in this place trying to keep it feeling cozy and homey and just feel really, really lived in from the get-go. The first day I walked in here, it felt like the place hadn't even opened yet, and it already felt really, really comfortable and broken in.
Right? Like you've been working here forever.
So when you come down, make sure you see Kevin. He'll take care of you with the libations. Jen and Joe will make sure that you're well-fed, and it is certainly a cozy place to hang out. Come.
Me and Kyle are going to be doing dishes here now that we doubled up on Joe and
yeah, we
got to
go
time.
Help them prep for tonight.
We put them behind. Now we got to go help them cook.
So come have a drink before you go see a movie, then come back and have another drink or five and a meal after a movie. So it's a good place to be. We appreciate your time, Kevin.
Kev, real quick before we go, what's your favorite item on the menu?
That's like really asking hard. Which one's your favorite kid?
Yeah. I got to go with the Porky Skins, man.
Porky Skins.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. They take the pig ears done up in the style of a one of those potato skins. So
really?
You get
stuff.
Yeah, pressed fried pig ear with palm puree, like a really whipped mashed potato, scallion, bacon, and a Middlefield cheddar, local Middlefield cheddar.
Oh man.
It's out of control.
Sign me up.
Yeah, I got to get one of those.
All right, we thank you for taking out time of your busy night. This place is getting to be in full swing, so we got to wrap up the show. We got 20 minutes of airtime, so me and Kyle may do a little bit more. We will tell you what Joe and Jen told us,
right.
And then we'll wrap up the show. We'll get the Hungry Snowman on here, and we'll get this up on iTunes for everybody.
All right, we are back at FC Soda Studios. Are you sponsoring our studios now?
Oh, well, apparently, yeah.
Well, we regrouped from that catastrophe, and we'll recap some of the stuff they told us that we lost there, and we've checked with our computer experts, and some people think it could be buried somewhere on my Mac, but we're not sure what links we'd have to go to pull it out.
Yeah, if we find it, we'll repost the whole interview.
Yeah, some of the stuff is obviously repeated, but there's obviously a lot more on there as well. You're never going to believe what happened. Now, this isn't food related, but it was on the way to toast.
Okay.
And I didn't tell you when we got there because we were scrambling around so much trying to get everything ready. I was getting on 252. I was getting on 480.
Right.
And there was a car in front of me, and it was like a Hyundai Sonata. you know, decent size car, you know, almost a full size car, mid size car. I don't know what that's considered.
I think it's mid size.
Right? And the trunk is open on it because they have like a little kid's dirt bike in the trunk. Yeah. And if you could kind of envision it, like the front wheel's kind of hanging out over the trunk and the handlebars kind of sticking up out, which is preventing the trunk from closing.
Right.
And so the trunk is kind of naturally propped open, and it's not tied open, so it's kind of flapping around a little bit even. But, not, I mean, not a big deal. But the dirt bike, as I finally, you know, looked more and more at it, was not tied off. And you still wouldn't think anything of it. I don't think it would have fallen out, being that it wasn't tied off, unless you maybe hit some giant speed bump, you know, doing 70.
Right.
So none of this is anything out of the ordinary, and I really wouldn't have given it two thoughts. But I'm getting on the on-ramp, and all of a sudden, something that just, like, completely almost makes your heart stop. Like, you just had to look twice. I couldn't believe what I saw. A little head popped up.
Shut up.
And this was
from the trunk?
From the trunk. And this was the size of our sons.
Yeah.
He was 5 at the most. He was probably our son's age. And, he looked up and, like, he was not alarmed by any means. Like, I don't want to say he was, like, smiling, but he was just chilling back there. And he was, like, kind of behind the dirt bike in the trunk. And I can only guess or assume that he's back there to hold on to it to make sure it doesn't fall out.
Like, well, we don't have any ropes.
So Jimmy, why don't you're gonna sit in the trunk, lay in the trunk? And the part of the problem is you could not really see him at all. Even, like, I don't know where he was holding on to. Like, he was kind of holding underneath, so you couldn't see his arms. Mm-hmm. But all of a sudden, he would just, like, pop his head up. And then, like, I was behind him on 71. He's got his head down. And he, like, pops it up again. He's just kind of chilling back there. Like, he's not alarmed. Like, he's actually kind of got, like, a look on his face like, yeah, this is cool.
They're on the freeway?
They're on the freeway doing, like, 75 mile an hour. So now I don't know if I should call, like, 911.
You
I mean, like, surely, you know, I understand, like, if a cop gets them, yes, like, they're probably going to jail, but, you know, I don't want to be a hater. I understand this kid is in danger, don't get me wrong, but at the same time, he was just chilling back there. I didn't know what to do. I'm like, should I call the cops? Should I not? I didn't end up calling the cops. You know, I was hoping that they were just going to be getting off on the next exit. But I don't know. Just the fact that he's back there, even if it was a side road, it would have been amazing.
Yeah, that's great.
But maybe on 480.
Just, like, hitching a ride.
He just jumped in. He didn't even know he's back there. Well, then the next thing is I got to see what this parent looks like. You know, right. You got to see what people look like.
Yeah.
So I pull up. I got to see this guy. So I pull up next to him. And if you're listening to this podcast and this is you, navy blue Sonata with kids in the trunk. And I pull up next to this guy. And he's kind of older. So he could maybe even be a grandpa. But I don't know. I would say probably not. I would assume that's his kid's dad. And he's probably about 50.
Yeah.
You know, late 40s.
Right.
Heavy, bald, kind of had like a George Costanza look, like a little plainer than George, like shorter hair. And like, that's what the dude looked like. It was crazy. And this is on the way to Toast. It was the craziest thing I think I've probably ever seen driving.
Was he wearing a man's ear?
I don't know if he had a man's ear on or not.
Bro.
And the funny thing is I kept looking at the guy, and he wouldn't make eye contact, and it was almost like I felt like the guy knew I was looking at him. I mean, like, he had, like, a little smile on his face, like,
yeah,
this is crazy.
So I came here straight from work, right? I worked late, and I'm driving down Royalton Road right at the parkway, and in the turning lane to turn into the park, there are 4, like, teenagers in this car. Just like passing a joint around, playing his day. Like,
hey.
They sat through their Green Arrow, so it must have been really good weed.
Yeah, you know it's good when you're sitting through the Green Arrows.
That pales in comparison to your story.
Yeah, that's nothing.
George Costanza smuggling a little kid in his dirt bike across the
The kid was just, border. I think he was so excited to get this dirt bike. You know, he looked pretty happy back there. Like, he was pretty excited about the whole situation.
Yeah.
If there was any panic on the kid's look on his face whatsoever, I'm sure I would have called the cops. But the kid seemed to be fairly excited to be back there, as dangerous as that was.
That's going to be the new X Games sport this year. trunk dirt biking.
So yeah, that was pretty exciting stuff. I talked to the Hungry Snowman today. We're going to call him here in a few minutes and get him on. Thanks again. Super big shout out to Joe and Jen and Kevin. Did I say that right? Yeah, yep. Kevin. They all did an excellent job on the show. and couldn't be nicer. Their restaurant is phenomenal. You got to check it out. We'll tell you a little bit about what they told us. Some of the stuff that got cut off is they went into a lot of detail about is that you buzzing?
Yeah.
Our phones are blowing up. They went into a lot of detail about how involved they are as to where their food comes from. And we touched a little bit on that with them, but they even told us about how they went to the butcher and they watched the cows being butchered and skinned and cut up and everything.
And DJ's meats.
I mean, they are just fully involved, you know, with, you know, how all the food is from Ohio and the detail that goes into that. Tell us some of the stuff that, you know, recall.
What's really cool, in my opinion, is not, you know, they don't have a menu because they want to make something. They source their ingredients first, and then they come up with a menu. So if the farmer says, like, hey, you know, this week we've got turnips, or the butcher, their pig farmer says, you know, this week I've got these really great pork chops, or we've got this really great fish, whatever it is, they build their menu on that. So you know, like, and it changes every week. You know, when you're eating there, you're getting the freshest ingredient at its peak. So if it's turnips, you know, they talked about pickled turnip or a roasted turnip with pickled turnip greens. Those were just out of the ground. They didn't go through the distributor to market to restaurant. They went straight from the farmer to your table, essentially.
Right. It's phenomenal. Another cool thing we did is we got to talk to them. We did a little Food Network style best thing you've ever eaten, and they both picked from Cleveland, and they both picked from the same restaurant, and that was Lolita.
Yeah.
And do you recall what they had picked, Kyle?
Yeah, because Joe picked probably one of the better things I've ever had was crispy pigtails and ears at Lolita, and in the pigtails.
Now they still have that there, right?
Yeah, I think so. They come almost like chicken wing style. They come on a long skinny plate with five pigtails, and they're the size of like a chicken wing drumstick with a sweet and sour glaze on it, and then the pig ears are sliced super thin and sprinkled on top, and they're super crispy. But with the sweet and sour glaze, and I don't know what they do to cook it. I've never cooked a pigtail, so I'm sure that it's slow cooked to some degree. But it's just so tender, and the sauce is so good, and it's cool because you eat it, you know, like you would a chicken wing drumstick. And then Jen had a cheese plate at Lolita.
Yeah,
which I've never gotten there before. I've had the cheese plate at L'Albatross, which is a Zach Brule restaurant over by University Circle. And that's one thing that I've kind of seen a little bit more of around Cleveland, and apparently Lolita does it better than anybody, although Toast has a cheese plate.
Yeah, and supposedly they're pretty – I could tell. I don't know if that came on the recut, but they were pretty proud of their cheese plate, so I imagine it's pretty good at Toast.
Because it's all local cheesemakers, so you're not getting like a European cheese, like a Dubliner – cheddar. You're getting a local cheese, whether it's soft cheese or a hard cheese or like a blue cheese. It's all local. And so she said the cheese plate there was the best thing she's ever had, just because the flavors are so complex. And you know, they've got it at Toast. I know Greenhouse has cheese as an option even for dessert. And so, you know, when you're done with your meal and you just want to sit and hang out, if you're not into sweets, which a lot of people aren't, but you want to get a dessert drink or have a drink with your dessert, the cheese plate is a great option. And so I don't know if she had it as like a first course or a dessert, but she said it was the best thing she's ever had in Cleveland from Lolita, the cheese plate.
Yeah, so big props to Lolita. We already know that place is really good. Michael Simon, Iron Chef. They've been doing some Iron Chef battles on Food Network, haven't they? Where like the Iron Chef's been going up against the other Iron Chefs.
Yeah.
I'm a big I listen to The Really Big Show a lot, which is with Tony Rizzo and Aaron Goldhammer.
Yeah.
It's a sports show. Man, they talk a lot of stuff. And I didn't really catch what he was talking about today, but Michael Simon's on there every week, and he was talking. It sounded like they had won some big battles, like on the Iron Chef against the other Iron Chefs. So
I think Bobby Flay is the oldest Iron Chef. Like, he's been in it the longest because, like, Batali was there for a long time and he's gone, and Kat Cora has been there for a while. But I mean, next to Bobby Flay, I wonder what Simon's record is on Iron Chef, because he wins a lot.
Yeah.
And it's cool to hear him describe the food at the end. That's the thing I like most about Iron Chef, is to hear him describe the food at the end and what they did, how they did it.
The other thing I don't think made the second cut was we talked a little bit about some of the best stuff we ever had, and it was so coincidental that we had the opportunity to sit at the chef's table at the Greenhouse Tavern, and this was probably at least a year ago.
Yeah.
And Joe was cooking that night, which was really cool. That was the first time we didn't really know him before then.
Yeah, Joe was on Sauté Station. I think that's when we did the other podcast. But you and I went with our wives, and that's in my life the best dining experience that I've ever had to date. I mean, I look back on that fondly because they treated us so well. I mean, we're nobody.
Right.
And they treated us so well. The food is amazing. And I describe that as like dinner in a show.
Yeah.
Because you're down there for 2.5-3 hours.
Like you said, we're nobody. Joe doesn't know us from Adam. And they treated us like we were celebrities that had walked in there. You know, like we were movie stars that had come to eat at their restaurant. I mean, they just, you know, it was really good. It was phenomenal.
Yeah.
You were also at the big Memorial Golf Tournament this week, yeah. Tiger.
Yeah, I went down Friday.
Was that the big rainout day?
Yeah, we got there. We got to the course at around 9, and we left at 3. The first rain delay was at 2:40, so we started heading to the car when that came on. But it rained off and on a couple times.
Now, what kind of food do they have at like a PGA Tour event? Is this like stadium style? Do you just get like nachos and hot dogs? Like, how does that work?
No, the most of the concessions, you can get like a ham and Swiss, a turkey and cheddar, chicken salad sandwich. They've got a hoagie, pulled pork sandwich, and then Heineken must be a sponsor because they've got Heineken and Amstel Light, and I think that's the only beer they have.
Right, so they don't do anything real special as far as food. It's just kind of like a general concession.
It's real low-key. We had clubhouse passes, so we went into the clubhouse, which they just built a huge addition onto the clubhouse and remodel. And I'd been in there before, and they have a buffet set up in there where you can pay $25 and go through the line, but it's more or less a cold buffet. I mean, you get like potato salad and macaroni salad, but you've got cold cuts on a platter. You can build a sandwich and do your thing.
Cool.
But it's kind of neat. We were following that. They were still running two flights. So we got there about halfway through the morning flight. We saw Tiger on, it would be his about 12th hole, because he started on the back. We just stayed close to the front nine. And we saw him finish a little bit. And it's amazing because you see like this wave of people coming.
Oh, I bet.
We were at the green. We saw him we saw his approach shot to the green and saw him around the green. And you just see like this wave of people come in and then disappear. And then you're left just like nobody. Nobody's around.
You know, if you've never been around those professional golfers, you know, if you know or play with like an exceptional golfer, it's hard to compare because, you know, you're playing with them at this course and Tiger's playing on this tricked up, you know, course, maybe even played it, but it's certainly tricked up for a PGA event.
Yeah, Muirfield's like, it's always in the top 50 courses in the United States.
Well, I feel like, and maybe I'm, you know, I don't know how much difference the course being tricked up makes, but, you know, we obviously have, or if you played a lot of golf, you'd play with guys that can shoot scratch or do regularly or maybe even under. But, you know, on any given day, they could probably go out and shoot a score within a few strokes of a Tiger Woods. you know, I don't know how that, I don't know how tricked up the course is, but obviously Tiger's shooting over par some of these days, and I'm thinking these guys could be close to that. Whether, you know, maybe they're six strokes behind Tiger. That's a lot in a golf sense, but six strokes doesn't sound like that much. But the difference, the way these guys are playing and the way, like, the best golfer you know plays, it's just, it's night and day. Like, with the way they hit the ball, like, the way it looks off the club, like, the way it jumps in the air, like, it just looks so much different.
Yeah, they nut the ball. I mean, they just, they hit the ball so hard and so fast and so consistently, and it's because they practice. I mean, they hit 1,000 balls a day, and like, Tiger shot a 44 on his first nine on Saturday, which is an awful round.
Right, it was his worst
nine ever.
Yeah.
And you know, they're playing from the tips, which is a lot more difficult than probably what any of us ever play. I played nine holes out at Shale Creek yesterday from the tips, and I played like garbage, and I shot a 47, which I'm not proud of, but, you know, it was just bad. But, you know, if you duff a shot playing with your buddies, it's no big deal. These guys have pressure constantly because, it, like Tiger or guys playing in Tiger's group, they've got like 5,000 people following them around 18 holes on a golf course.
You know, I brought the, before we get back to food here, we'll throw this out here for our listeners real quick. I've often wondered this. Obviously, if you play golf every day, for, you know, from the age of five on, chances are you have a pretty affluent background.
Yeah.
And
all the golfers.
Right.
Yeah.
That kind of goes without saying. But these guys are the biggest choke artists to walk the face of the earth. And this is what I wonder. Does golf lend itself, the game, the style, lend itself to choking? Or is it the fact that these guys are all soft, rich kids that lend itself to choking? Maybe a combination of both. You know what I mean? You see such a drop-off. Like, so many times when it's on the line, they play so poorly. You know, there's a lot of guys in other sports, when it's on the line, they play better. You know, Tiger almost plays better when it's on the line, but it seems like the vast majority of people on the PGA Tour, you know, really get tight when it's on the line.
Well, I mean, you got to look at golf. It is so mental. Right there, the mental part of the game is, I think, 80% of it, because if you hit a bad shot, say in basketball, or you make a bad pass in a football game, you've got 40 seconds to think about it before you're doing it again. Where in golf, if you block your drive into the woods, you got a 300-yard walk up to your ball. You got to find your ball. You got to get set for your next shot. And, like, if you can't get that out of your head before your next shot, you're sunk.
Well, this is part of my thing. In other sports, you constantly refer to guys as, man, they are so mentally tough. They are nails. You hear that all the time.
Yeah.
But, like, it seems like virtually no one in golf, you know, how often in golf do you say, man, that dude is so mentally tough?
Well, that's,
you
know, that's what Tiger.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's only Tiger.
That's what separates Tiger, because his dad.
But in other sports, there isn't just one guy. You know what I mean?
His dad, like, beat it into him like a drill instructor.
Right.
You know, every day, you know, you're going to do this, you're going to get better, you're going to get better, you're going to get better, until eventually he was.
Well, back to food.
He scrambles.
I heard Michael Simon's quite the golfer. Have you heard that?
I have.
You golfed with him?
I know he plays a lot up here. I'm not. That Mike, if you want to play golf, reach out to the Palatable Podcast. We'll be happy to carry your bags around for
you. Get us on Instagram. If you don't follow the show on Instagram, please do. It's Palatable _podcast.
Yeah, speaking of Mike Simon, Kevin's wife is at Lola.
Now, Kevin was at the Greenhouse, wasn't he? I thought I recognized
him. They were both at Greenhouse. Kevin was a bar manager at Greenhouse. His wife was at Greenhouse on some management level. I'm not sure what. I think. I'm not sure of that.
But Kevin we're talking about manager. Kevin the bartender, obviously.
Kevin Wilderman.
Toast. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then did you bring any ginger beer with you?
I didn't. I've got two kegs in the fridge for Greenhouse and Toast this week, and I'm going to brew again on Wednesday night.
Okay, well, we always play more or less. This one's kind of lame, but, you know, I figured because of Toast, it was an appropriate category.
Right.
This was the 25 healthiest foods in the world. And the only reason I say that's lame is it seems like a good subject, but it's so biased. Like, it's so up to opinion. Like, who's to decide what foods are healthier than others?
Right.
But this is by, and maybe this will give you some insight as to what you should pick, but this is from prevention.com.
All right.
Which is a pretty big deal. They listed the 25 healthiest foods.
So these would be like heart healthy or antioxidant.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
All right.
Things that are going to, you know, help you lead a healthy, preventative, disease-free life.
Okay.
I got the top 25. I guess 13, that's pretty much in the middle,
right,
is broccoli.
Okay.
All right. So I will give you, for those who may not be familiar, I'll give him three things here. He's got to tell me whether it's higher or lower on the list than broccoli. Let's start with avocado.
Avocado is fatty, but it's got good fat and lots of protein, I think. I go healthier than broccoli.
Okay. How about garlic?
See, garlic's not much to it. I'll go healthier, too.
All right. And figs?
Less than broccoli, less healthy.
All right, it was a valiant effort, but you did not get those three right.
This game. I've not gotten one since we played this game.
I'll give you another try. Broccoli's at 13. We will ask you, tofu, healthier than broccoli?
No, not healthier than broccoli.
Okay, how about oatmeal?
No, not healthier than broccoli.
And lean beef?
Like, is this grass-fed organic beef, or is this like rancid?
This is the real deal.
The real deal, lean beef, healthier.
Okay, well, you got one out of three right.
Man, I suck.
All right, we'll give you one more try, then we're going to call up Hungry Snowman, see how he can do, okay?
All right.
All right, here we go. Healthier than broccoli. Blueberries.
Healthier. It's a standalone
apples.
Fruit. Healthier. No, I take that back. Not as healthy. I got a side point on apples when we're done.
Fat-free milk.
Healthier.
No, you didn't get it.
So apples, a friend of mine, we were talking yesterday about food. And I forget the documentary he saw this on, but they took the nutritional value of an apple from 1950 versus the nutritional value of an apple today.
Oh, I bet.
What percentage do you think an apple...
I bet you an apple today is 10% of what it was in the 50s.
I would have guessed higher. It's 20%.
20%.
So 20% the nutritional value.
What has it done between the 50s and 1900? I'd wonder too. I bet you there's another big jump. Somebody told me, this was an older person a long time ago, and when I say older, I mean very old, told me that for whatever reason, I don't know what her explanation was, but she swore that back when she grew up, before the World Wars, right. I don't know what the World Wars would have to do with it, but the apples back then tasted like completely different than they did like in the 50s.
Really?
You know, just like, you know, people may notice a huge difference between 50s and 2010.
Right.
She swore there was a big difference between 1900 and 1950.
Yeah, you know, rightly so. I mean, that you get that saying, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. I mean, if it's packed full of nutrition, it'd be like eating vitamins, right? It's crazy.
All right, let's get the Hungry Snowman out here. He's slacking. Last podcast, he told us he was posting... Wayatea, is that right? Is that a restaurant?
I think he went there since the last podcast.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He was supposed to post, though, and he didn't. He told us he was going there. He told us he was going to write a review.
He's got a lot going on.
He didn't.
Bees, chickens.
Hello?
Hungry Snowman.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm hanging in there.
All right, we're playing higher or lower here. We have the 25 healthiest foods in the world. And we started with the middle, which is broccoli at 13. Kyle took three cracks at it and couldn't get it. Here we go. You ready to play?
All right, I'm ready.
All right. 13 is broccoli. Higher or lower? Lean beef.
I would say.
Now, this is from Prevention Magazine, which kind of implies prevention.com, that this is, these are healthy in regards to obviously preventing disease, I guess.
I would say worse than broccoli.
Worse than broccoli. So
that would be higher on the list numerically.
Okay. Garlic.
I say lower on the list numerically.
Lower numerically. Garlic is healthier. I think you're playing the game backwards, but we're with you.
Okay. All right. So I'll take higher on the list.
Figs.
By golf rules.
Okay.
Figs.
Figs. Lower.
Okay, Hungry Snowman, this is the first time you've ever played this game and didn't get it on the first try, but we'll give you one more try, okay? You ready?
Yeah.
All right. Higher or lower? Higher as in number one on the list, lower as in 25 on the list. Higher than broccoli or lower? Greek yogurt.
I would say it's this new trending thing. I'm going to go with higher.
Okay. Sweet potatoes.
They're pretty high in vitamins. I don't think it's higher than, I would say lower than broccoli.
Okay. And how about apples?
Lower than broccoli.
Ding, ding, ding. Two tries. Man, two tries.
Killing
you still
it.
Beat Kyle. Still killing beat Kyle. It. All right. Here's, in case you're concerned, Joseph, here's the list. Number one, eggs. Two, Greek yogurt. Three, fat-free milk. Four, salmon. Five, lean beef. Six, beans. Seven, nuts. Eight, tofu. Nine, oatmeal. 10, flaxseed. 11, olive oil. Avocado, broccoli, spinach, tomatoes, sweet potatoes, garlic, red peppers, figs, blueberries, Asian pears, lychee. Am I saying that right?
Yeah.
Apples, guava, dark chocolate. What's lychee, Hungry Snowman?
Isn't it the fruit? I think it's like a Japanese citrus, I thought.
Citrus, you like that, Kyle?
Yeah, you see, especially around here, like a lychee martini. You see it in drinks. It's sweet. It's got a pretty funky consistency, but it's super good. I like it.
Now, I was looking on the blog the other day for the Wayatea review. I didn't see it.
Yeah, it's been pretty busy. I haven't got a chance to get up there yet.
How are the bees doing?
I was planning on going back, actually, even one more time, but it just didn't work out.
You know, it got to works hard. You got to do that research. You got to go back one more time. Yeah. One more time to get an accurate read.
Back to the grind.
Make sure I'm right on track. I mean, that list, I don't know. I mean,
it's so subjective.
If I eat eggs every day, I would be healthier than if I eat broccoli every day and only broccoli or only eggs.
I don't know. I don't know if it's an only. Yeah. The list is so subjective. What else I wanted to ask you? You got a lot of bees now. How many? Tell us about your bees.
Well, I'm up to four hives now as an amateur apiarist. One of my hives swarmed on me, so I was able to catch it and put it in a new box, so now I'm up to four hives. And so I'm waiting here for the soybean crop to bloom so that the bees can gather the nectar from the soybean and turn that into honey for us to enjoy. So that's the next big nectar flow for us is going to be this soybean. So as soon as that hits, I'm going to pull my honey and extract and produce some wonderful raw honey.
Now, Toast was, Jen and Joe at Toast said they'd be interested in setting up their own beehives. Is that something you could help them with?
Yeah, that's probably something we can do.
Here's the other thing is I'm thinking maybe we could supply Toast with some Hungry Snowman honey, and they could maybe use it in one of their classic or new style drinks.
Yeah.
Yeah, that definitely could be done. I think September, probably early September is when I'm going to pull the honey. And,
okay.
Obviously, I said I was making it, but really the bees are making it. I'm just borrowing it. And so I got the new setup going. So yeah, probably early to mid September, I'm gonna pull the honey. But you gotta leave enough honey for the bees to make it through the winter on. So we just take the surplus and give them everything else, and that's how it works.
Sweet. All right, well, Kyle, get on that. He'll talk to Joe and Jen, and maybe he'll figure out how much they would need, to have a Hungry Snowman honey part of the menu for a week or so.
Make a Hungry Snowman honey soda.
Honey soda.
There you go.
All right, have a good evening.
All right, take care, guys. Later.
All right, see you, man.
Bye.
So... Did you hear about the swarming of his hive?
I've seen the pictures, and that means like the queen leaves and they all follow, and then there's a new queen that stays behind. How does that work?
Either that, or he told me that maybe they just got too packed, like too cramped. There were so many bees that they just vacated. Some of them just left, and so it just happened to be. Joe had to go out of town, as you're aware. Or Hungry Snowman, Hungry Bee Man, had to go out of town, as you're aware. So he asked me to pick up his bee shipment for him. And so this 3-pound container of bees has like 10,000 bees in it. So I don't know if it was something with taking the new bees to the new hive that made the other bees swarm.
So what you're saying is you butchered this while Joseph was out of town. It's your fault.
Yeah, I think I might have had it. I may have had a hand in it. But he got home from work on Monday and noticed the bees had swarmed from his old hive, had swarmed to this tree that was close to the hive. And so...
And you can see the pictures of this on Instagram.
Yeah.
At Hungry Snowman.
At Hungry Snowman. So you... There was like this football size swarm of bees, solid bees around these branches. So he had to suit up and cut these branches off the tree. And I think as he was doing that, some of the bees dropped off. And so he took the bees from that branch, like they all stay together, stuck to this branch, and put them in this new hive. But he said he must not have got the queen. And he said, like, all during this, the bees are flying all over the place. Like,
I bet.
surrounding him. Well, he gets back to the tree, and he notices, like, 10 feet in the air, there's another giant swarm of bees. So that must have been the queen.
Oh.
And it was on this 3-inch branch now. So he had to cut all the little branches off this 3-inch branch and, like, very gingerly put a ladder up, okay? So he's got a ladder in the mix. And he's got a ladder up cutting this tree so that he can take this giant bunch of bees, like 5,000 bees. And so he gets it loose, and he's climbing down the ladder, and that's how he transported them back to the new hive.
Sweet.
But it's just crazy. Like, nerves of steel.
All right, well, we're 53 minutes in here, and we probably could talk some more, but the Miami Heat are getting ready to play the Pacers, and I got to watch this, so...
Yeah, Pacers in 7, right?
Priorities. All right, until everybody, next time, catch us on our next episode. We're going to have a guest on. I don't know who it is yet, but tune in.
Yeah, thanks, Jen and Joe and Kevin from Toast Cleveland.
Tell your friends.
Check them out, 1365 West 65th, right across from Capitol Theater. Happy hour, 4:30 to 7, Monday through Friday. Great drink prices and... menu items.
Download us on iTunes and paddlepodcasts.com.